welcome to the Thursday night broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Oh, he has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I just praise you and thank you for another day to serve you. I ask that your word would go forth, that we would have ears to hear and receive your truth, Lord. May you bless this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Build your house on the rock. Build your house on the rock. Build your house on the rock and it shall stand. There's no power on this earth that can stand against God's word. Build your house on the rock and it shall stand. Build your house on the rock. Build your house on the rock. Build your house on the rock and it shall stand. There's no power on this earth that can stand against God's word. Build your house on the rock and it shall stand. Life on the Lord. Build your life on the Lord. Build your life on the Lord. Build your life on the Lord and it shall stand. There's no power on this earth that can stand against God's word. Build your life on the Lord and it shall stand. House on the rock. Build your house on the rock. Build your house on the rock. Build your house on the rock and it shall stand. There's no power on this earth that can stand against God's word. Build your house on the rock and it shall stand.
Get all excited. Page 38.
Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited, go tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings.
all, I want to start off with Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Ricky told me this years ago, and whenever I'm, you know, feeling that I can't make it, that I can't, it's too much for me, that I can't do the Lord's will, and that I'm going to fail him. And Davey told me, I think it was last year at the conference, he said, you can't disappoint God, but every once in a while, you can please him. And I want to go next to Philippians 4. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. This scripture right here is one that, and when I first started discipling, told me to read and keep that in my heart. And every time something of the world or Satan puts thoughts in my mind, I try to go back to the scripture and read it. And that also gives me the strength to say, shut up, flesh. What you're saying is not of God. It's not the truth. I'm going to believe his word. And it gives me the strength to go on and to put off that and get it out of my mind and rebuke Satan. For it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. It doesn't say he may flee. It doesn't say he might flee. He says he will. I mean, he shall flee. That means if God says it, it's done. He has to. So I believe that. Also, 4:9, I'm just going to go on because I want to get, not necessarily 4:9, but a little bit further down, I want to bring up another point. Those things which ye both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how, both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. One thing that I just really want to point out here is this is ever so true. If we can get to this point in our life, no matter what happens, to be content where we're at, the flesh doesn't like it. The flesh is going to fight against it. I said, I talked to Davey a while back, and I told him, I said, and really what it comes down to is whatever it takes, Lord. Because it has to be. There's no way around it. There's no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. There's no way around it. You have to be willing to set your face like flint, and that is, I shall not be moved. I will not be moved. No matter how many times I fall down, no matter how many times I screw up, I say, forgive me, Lord. I repent and I go on because I know it's his faith, not mine, that makes me worthy. Just trusting in him. I know I am not worthy. None of us are. in our own might, in our own flesh, or even in our own spirit, but he is worthy. And if we accept him, we accept his gift on the cross, we put our faith into his faith, we can make it. And like I said, I go back to Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. He says he will never leave us nor forsake us. And as long as when we screw up, we repent, get back up, shake the dust off, keep on going. We fall down, we get back up, shake the dust off, keep on going. As long as we don't lose our commitment to him, he will never leave us nor forsake us.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's gonna do. The word and faith is my sword and shield. And Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I really don't care what the devil's gonna do. The word and faith is my sword and shield. And Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. I don't care what the devil's gonna do. The word and faith is my sword and shield. And Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel. Jesus is the Lord of the way I feel.
Good evening, everybody. So this weekend, Philip and I went to visit a guy that he works with and his girlfriend. And her and I were talking about children, raising children. And then Angie, you and I were talking about children at the back recently, earlier before service. And, you know, she was talking about how she set up a chore chart for her children, and then they would say, I can't do it. It's too hard. All right. So her and I were talking, and then it brought me tonight to how many times do I give up? How many times does the Lord command me through other people to do this? And I go, it's too hard. I can't do it. I don't want to. Which is essentially what we're saying is, I don't want to. It's not important enough to me to do that which you have commanded me to do. Which was a ouch thing. Me. So it took me to Romans 8, and I have a single verse. Five. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Well, I separate me from the love of Christ. None of those other things do. Too many times I am the one standing in the way. Get out of the way. The Lord wants to bless us, and we continue to stand in the way. Get out of the way.
A clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. salvation and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart.
Loves it when I grab the mic. One thing has occurred to me over the last several days, and not that it hasn't ever occurred before, but I've seen it quite a bit, is how relentless and diligent the enemy is. In trying to sell doubt, unbelief, fear, and as relentless as he is as faithful as Jesus is, and as diligent we ought to be in using the faith that Jesus Christ has delivered to us. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work and you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. His commitment to us is able to deliver us out of the clutches and the snare of the enemy. There's no need for us to be overcome with fear and believe his lie. There's no need for us to be overcome with the infernal what-ifs. My feet swell. Well, you know, that could be this, or I could be that, or the kidneys aren't working, or something else. Why would I listen to that? But, you know, every little thing is another little what-if. And you have to use the word of the Lord and believe it. And in at least in this is one of the things, you know, when he's talking about being a doer of the word. But it's not only about us in relation to the word or Jesus. It's about how we treat other people. We're fulfilling, you know, commandment to love God and love one another. It's very easy, especially when the enemy's trying to sell you on a whole bunch of junk that's a lie, to become all about you and forgetting all about other people. It's a good thing that, you know, Jesus didn't suffer that same tendency which we suffer. That's the difference between and being fallen in need of his grace and mercy. There really isn't a whole lot of difference between Colossians 3, set your affections on things that are above and not on the earth below, and Philippians 4:8, find brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. It's the same thing. Think on these things. But there's just one thing I wanted to point out. It's good to read the verse, but it's better to do it. It's better to do it. And it's the same thing with, you know, Colossians 3. It's an instruction the Lord has given that is, if we do it, benefits us. And it gives us the wherewithal to stand against the enemy, to see the grace and the mercy and the love that we are partakers of, to remind ourselves that we're about giving it out. And the last thing we should ever let happen is to let the lies that the enemy is so relentless in trying to sell us on take us away from what we're supposed to be doing. The last thing, I'm not going to be long here, the last thing Paul talks about here, it's not the last thing Paul talks about, it's the last thing I'm going to talk about here, where he says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. You know, that's one of the things that the people that came out of Egypt, the Israelites that came out of Egypt, were guilty of. They judged God's provision as being inadequate. And, or not loving, or whatever it was. They were judging God's provision as not being worthy of them. It is a mental and heart adjustment to get to a place where you're not constantly complaining about the situation you're in, but rather trusting the Lord in His provision, in His grace. He hasn't moved. He's still there. And the people that are around you, they're still there. And you still have fellowship with them. God has not moved. When you can wrap your mind around being content in whatever condition you're in, the enemy has that much less opportunity to sell those lies to you and to the rest of us. And the Lord is good, and His word is designed to deliver us to Him. It's not designed for our destruction. Not designed to punish us. Jesus took that punishment for us. Everything else after that is grace and mercy and goodness and loving kindness and long suffering. He's shown that over and over again in many diverse ways to all the people who are in this room. It's unnecessary for me to go into detail. I'll just remind you of the Lord's goodness, and I just I thank him greatly for his constant loving kindness and mercy and grace.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good.
Answers prayers.
He answers prayers. He answers prayers. He answers prayers. He's so good to me. God is so good. God is so good. God is God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
Good evening, everybody. Y'all three sure did leave a lot of time for me to preach up here. Well, praise the Lord. I mean, all those things were actually all good points. I mean, praise God. All of them. And, you know, I can tell you what, I guess the area that I'd be touching on today is one that, I mean, you sang that song, or we sang that song, Create in Me a Clean Heart. And I don't know if you've ever said that prayer in the sense of, I don't know if it's that same context you were talking about, Linda, but Lord, do whatever it takes, Lord. Here's my heart. Do whatever it takes. And it's an interesting thing what happens is you were talking about loving God, loving one another, Paul. And when I look at loving God, loving one another, that loving one another and loving God is one with an agape love. With an agape love. And one of the things that happens is the Lord is very faithful. Absolutely faithful. And I had me personally this past week, you know, to talk about, Lord, create in me a clean heart, man. Lord, show me those areas. Lord, show me those areas that are not clean, that I can get shed of and get rid of so I can walk in the freedom and liberty to just be a better servant for you. For you. Lord, do whatever it takes. And when you say that prayer, He's very faithful to that prayer. And it's a good thing. And what some of that agape love is, I mean, I tell you what, man, when I love is to show, I mean, sometimes when you come to that place where it's time for you, the Lord is perfect. I mean, He knows how to show you these things at the time that you need to be shown to Him, being shown to you, so that you can get shed up. I mean, when I'm a newborn babe in Christ Jesus, He's not going to show me some of the things that He's showing me today or this past week, whatever the case may be, because I wasn't ready for any of those things yet. He's dealing with me one thing at a time. He's a perfect, loving Father to get shed of all that garbage, and He has the perfect way of showing you it. Then when I came to realization of just how, I mean, when that light shined on my heart and that light shined on me and I saw myself for who I really was towards the Lord and towards His people. I mean, I just didn't know that. I mean, I knew I was a son of a gun. I knew I was a freaking, one of those, you know, jerk. There you go. That's the word. But on this light, I did not see it. On this light and on this fashion and on this manner, I did not see it. And when I came across, that thing, I tell you, I said, oh my gosh, Lord. Lord, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. And one of the things that I got in the midst of that is I was absolutely thankful. At the same time, how painful this thing was, as this thing has was shined upon me, and I seen myself of who I really was in that area of that I didn't even perceive myself as. Didn't even just come across. I mean, it just was so evident and so clear that I repented. And I mean, when I talk about repent, man, I wanted to change that which how I have been. I did not want to be that way anymore. I mean, I'm not talking like the sorrow of this world. I feel bad and I'm throwing a pity party because, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, how I am. No, it's just I did not want to be that anymore. I really didn't want that. And when I seen that, I was incredibly grateful, one, for His just grace and mercy upon me in the midst of through all that, and His grace being bestowed upon me anyways. And just incredibly thankful for that, and incredibly thankful that that was absolutely revealed unto me. Because it provoked me to change. It provoked me to change in a mean way, man. And it made me 20 times, 10 times more mindful of who I am and my position to serve Him. Because I realized how I've been. And being aware of this old man and knowing its devices and knowing how I am and knowing these things, it just causes me to be way more mindful than the way that I have been and the way that I have been going and the way that I have been doing things. It was actually wrong. But it was a good thing. It was a good thing. And see, that is agape love, folks. Then it's a different story when somebody tells you it. I mean, because a lot of times you'll just walk away kind of like, you know, okay. Yeah, I know I'm a jerk. But you don't really fully grasp how much of a jerk you really are. You don't really grasp it, but man, when the Lord shows you, and He does such a perfect job of it, when the Lord shows you how you really are, I mean, it wakes you up. It's a sobering thing. And it causes you to just change, turn away from how you've been, and that's a good thing. He said, that's a marvelous thing, and that's a loving thing. And it gives me great encouragement and confidence in His ability and His faithfulness to me. And not just to me, but to you. I don't know if any of you are grasping any of this. But that was the one of the most loving things. And it made me grateful for His faithfulness. Made me grateful for His mercy. And it made me become sharper in His service to Him and His service to others. We have that scripture. Where sin abound, what? Grace aboundeth more. And He deals with each and every single one of you right where you're at. Right where you're at. And the thing is, the whole time, and I'm going, man, how in the world am I in the position I am, and I am that way? You know what? You know who that biggest news flash to it was? Me. Wasn't the Lord. Lord already knew I was that way. Lord already knew I was screwed up. And He loved me anyway. And see, that love just gets manifested. It gets manifested to me in a great way. And the other thing is, it gets manifested to others in a great way. In the same way. In the same way. And the way that love gets manifested is that what? It strengthens His love in me towards you. And then it also just shines a light on His love and His grace and His mercy upon me. When others go, look at that guy, the Lord loves him. Man, then that means he can love me too. Because that guy is messed up, man. So you got two things going. He's doing two things at one time. Working with one person. It just amazes me. Absolutely amazes me. I look back, you look up and say, you're an awesome God, Lord. And I can trust them for my salvation. I can trust them to create in me a clean heart. I can trust Him to finish that work that has been begun in me. And I can trust Him also for that work that He's begun in you. You know why I can trust Him for that? Because it's not my work. See, it's not my faith. See, it's not your work. It's not your faith. It's His. And we know He's faithful. He's shown it. Shown it to the death. Shown it to the resurrection. Shown it to the power in our lives. And I can look back and I look about the time that I have flown my finger up at the Lord and I have walked away. Yet He abideth faithful. And His grace was there. Also had a lot to do with people intercessing for me and praying for me and looking at God's faith for me that was instilled in me. That's how we ought to look and encourage and exhort and love one another the same way. Isn't that what he did with the disciples when Jesus here with the disciples? Even all those doubts and all those things and all the way at the Last Supper, he's telling them over and over, I'm going to go die, but I'm going to be resurrected again. I'm going to go die. I'm going to be resurrected again. But they did not get it. Did he go to the cross and say, well, man, you know what, Lord, God, by the way, Father, screw those guys because I told them 5,000 times they still didn't listen. Was that his position? No. That shouldn't be our position either. Shouldn't be. No, he loved them. And when he was resurrected, what did he do? He upbraided them, man. He rattled them because of their unbelief. Said, get your asses up and go tell them about me. Go tell the people about me. Do what I told you to do. Believe me. Well, sorry, Lord, we didn't. But I don't care. That's what I died for. Get your butt up and go. Those weren't his exact words. Paraphrasing that. I guess that'd be me saying it if I was him, I suppose, but. Don't walk away from that work that he's begun in you. You still have free will. You still make your own choices. So let him do that work in you. And no matter what's going on, no matter how you feel, no matter how big the situation looks, no matter how hopeless it looks, remember it's his faith and it was his love, and he's damn well able. Amen.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God. And the sheep of his hand, and the sheep of his hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the children of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Of his hand.
tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you again. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for my power. As for my people Israel, I showed them my power. But as for my servant Moses, I showed him my way. But as for my servant Moses, I showed him my ways. Will you learn my ways? Will you learn my ways? Will you learn my ways?
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.